cases that were reported. Today we have an addition of 62 cases, which brings it to 280 cases in Arkansas. We've added two new counties, Drew and Hot Springs. Dr. Nate Smith will have more to elaborate on those findings. In terms of our testing capability, visiting with Dr. Smith, and at first we weren't confident that we had sufficient testing really to know where we are in the state in terms of the spread and the extent of the outbreak. Today, because of the extensive new testing that we're getting from the commercial labs, as well as what's been brought online from the Department of Health and from UAMS, we sense that we are getting a good flavor for where we are in Arkansas broadly with COVID-19. So this is a big step forward where we have a more accurate picture as to where we are through the results of this testing. We have the systems in place. Sometimes there is some delay because we have to get reagents and different supplies from the supply chain to make sure all the laboratories are operating as they should. I also want to express my thanks to the federal delegation, our members of Congress representing Arkansas and our senators, because they've done yeoman work in terms of the Senate bill that we hope will soon pass the House that provides a lot of confidence to Arkansans that there will be greater relief for a person that is laid off, that's having a hard time paying the bills, that small business person, the restaurant owner, that we can look to some financial assistance in these different sectors from that Senate bill, including the hospitals. And I'm very grateful for our constant communication with our federal delegation and the support they've given the state through the passage of this bill. I want to talk about the resources that we have here in Arkansas. It's been said before that we're very grateful for our nurses, our doctors, the lab technicians who are all on the front line of this fight. And they're there every day, but as you look at how long this might extend, there's going to be fatigue. There's going to be some of those healthcare professionals that might have to isolate for their own health needs or because they've had a positive test. And so there's going to be shortages. There's going to be needs to fill the gap in our healthcare providers in the coming weeks and months. In order to be prepared for this challenge, I've asked the medical board, and they responded very quickly, to expedite the licensing of our healthcare workers. And so the medical board expedited emergency temporary licensure to medical residents who have completed their 1 year of internship. Their licensure fees have been waived, and as a result of that, we have 15 residents that have done their internship that have applied for this quick licensure provision, and they will be able to enter the healthcare field in a faster way. In addition, the medical board accelerated their overall licensing process, and the result is that we have over 100 new physicians that have been licensed in the month of March. In terms of the nursing board, they likewise have accelerated their licensing process. They have issued licenses within 24 hours for nurses that have applied. In March, the board has issued 300 new nurse licenses through this expedited process. So I applaud both the medical board, the nursing board, and other licensure boards that are really meeting the need and the urgency of the current health crisis. Some nurses actually have been laid off because of elective procedures are not happening at some clinics. They have to close down or to shorten the hours of our nurses. And so the nurses who are in that boat who want to be able to continue to serve, Sue Tedford, the executive director of the nursing board, can make referrals to places in need. That's how we need to manage our medical team during this time. And then to the public, I wanted to add something else, that in order for us to be successful in Arkansas in slowing the upward trend line, the public needs to abide by the guidance of the Department of Health. Let me emphasize that again. The public needs to abide by the guidance of the Department of Health, who have said one thing, that there should be in social gatherings 10 or fewer. I've heard that this is not, while many Arkansans are abiding by that very carefully, there are some exceptions to that, and those exceptions can endanger what we're trying to do in getting a handle on this crisis. And so this has been a guideline, and this will be made into a directive. And so the Department of Health will be working on the specific language of a directive that when it comes inside social events, that we need to follow the guidelines of the Department of Health. This is necessary, and this is the part the public can do. And we want to be able to make sure we can reduce the trend line, but also make sure that those that are doing essential work, that are continuing their necessary obligations, can get it done consistent with those guidelines. Finally, I wanted to mention that today I have signed the proclamation for the special session of the General Assembly that will convene tomorrow at 1 p.m. I am very grateful for the leadership of the House and Senate that have made sure that the communication flow, that the bill language has been worked with the members where there's broad agreement and the necessary votes to have this passed and in a timely fashion without extending the length of the session, which is not what anyone wants to do. But this proclamation will be available. And then finally, I think I said finally a minute ago, but the last point I want to make is on the unemployment numbers. Just give you a sample as to where we are right now. There were over 9,000 unemployment claims that were filed last week. This week thus far, there's been 8,000 claims that have been filed. This morning, there were 700 unemployment claims that were filed. And so obviously from that, people are getting through the system, but I urge those that are filing these claims to be patient, as I know you have been, because this volume of claims is unprecedented in our history and in any economic time. And so we are processing them as quickly as we can. I know the wait time on the telephone line, I think, is over 25 minutes. And so be patient. We will get to it. But we're trying to upgrade the systems to make the online system work better and more efficiently. But this gives you an idea as to the need that's out there and how we're responding to it. And so, Dr. Smith, I took too much time from your health report, but I want you to take what you need to make sure that everybody understands where we are.
Thank you, Governor. Again, thank you, Governor, for your leadership, and thank you, Secretary Todd, as well. I want to give some brief updates or more details on the numbers. As the governor has already said, we're at 280 positive cases. Of those, 13 are children ages 18 or younger. Age range 19 to 64. 60% of our cases continue to be female. And our racial distribution is approximately the same, with 15% African American and 74% white, and the or other. We currently have 12 of our COVID-19 patients who are hospitalized, and 4 of them are on ventilators. We have a total of 41 who are in nursing homes. We have 11 who have met our criteria for being recovered. And just to give you an idea of the testing that's been done, because the governor mentioned that, we've had, in addition to the 280 positive tests, we've had 1,438 total negative tests. And of those, 675 are from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Laboratory, but 763 are from commercial labs. And so now we have both more positives and more negatives coming from our commercial labs that are being reported into the Department of Health. I have a few things that I wanted to mention. The first is the importance when people are not interacting with each other as much as they normally do, of reaching out to each other by phone or by technology, giving people that human connection. That's really important for our mental health, for our social cohesion, and if we have extra time on your hands that you didn't expect to have, you know, spend that time, at least some of it, reaching out to your neighbors, to your friends, especially to older Arkansans who may especially be feeling isolated as they're trying to protect themselves and others by staying in. The governor has mentioned that we're going to move that guidance for avoiding social gatherings inside of 10 or more to a directive, but I also want to urge Arkansans to be mindful about where they are and who they're with in public spaces, and don't clump all together. You know, whether you go to the grocery store, these are things are necessary, but keep a safe distance, at least 6 feet apart. I got an email from someone who said they had seen a crowd at a liquor store, so we should shut the liquor stores down. I don't think we need to shut down every place that has crowds, but you don't have to be crowded together just because you're in a public space. I think that's important that we all take responsibility for that and be very mindful of what we're doing. And lastly, I want to mention churches. This weekend, we're going to be having church service at my church, but we're not going to be doing it as a gathering. We have moved to a video format. Last Sunday, my family gathered together in our home, and then we watched the sermon on a video link. And many, many of our congregations, our houses of worship of all faiths, have been very creative in how they maintain that sense of social cohesion and connection without having to gather all together in one space and take the risk of spreading COVID-19 to one another. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the governor, who I think is going to have Secretary Todd say some words.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And I asked Secretary Todd to be here today because we want to talk directly to the veterans of our state. We want to make sure that they have access to testing and other medical assistance if they need it or they feel the circumstances dictate it. So, Secretary Todd.
Thank you, Governor. We want to thank the Governor and Secretary Smith for their clear thinking on this matter. Governor, we know that the veterans of Arkansas are disciplined, resilient, and many of them have great faith. Veterans, we've been in contact with the 5 medical centers that support Arkansas veterans. Those medical centers have access. They are awaiting you via video and our telephone. We ask those veterans to go through the screening process. The VA has testing capability if that veteran meets that criteria. We are thankful for our veterans and the faith-based community, Governor, at our church. Our media ministry is broadcasting, or will podcast, our service also. This is serious business, veterans. We know the discipline that's required to meet the CDC and the distancing guidelines. Let's do it. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. With that, we'll take any questions.
Earlier this afternoon, Little Rock Mayor Frank Scott said that the hospitals are at capacity. And Dr. Smith, you said that there were 12 coronavirus patients hospitalized. Can you guys offer some clarity? Are those 12 patients putting our hospitals at capacity?
Currently, we don't have a great number of inpatients. We have had a total of 27 hospitalized, but we're still in flu season, and people with medical conditions of other types. A lot of folks have been coming in to get tested as an outpatient, but we are looking ahead and leaning forward to seeing how we can expand our hospital capabilities to accommodate what we expect to be an increasing number of patients throughout the state.
Let me add to that, Bill.
Tents or fitting things out to get that done?
The question is in reference to hospital space and whether there's a shortage now. And as Dr. Smith indicated, there's ample room right now for the needs that we have. I've been in regular conversation with the mayor, and I know he's looking to the future. We've had discussions for additional hospital space as we look to, as this continues with the trend line upward. And so that's the reason we are having conversations about where we can build additional capacity. There's not any discussion about tents, but there is discussion about bringing additional beds online. And for example, we're blessed in Arkansas because we do have additional capacity that might not be operational now that we can bring on operation. And so it's a part of it is managing it. For example, we have 8,000 hospital beds in Arkansas, and so it's about, you know, are they properly located? Are they in the right spot? Are we going to exceed our capacity? But then also, these are COVID-19 patients that we're looking at, and you have to have the right place for them. Do we have the right number of ICU beds? And so that's really what we're measuring and looking to the future on. There's a lot of work being done to plan for what will be the needs in the coming weeks and months.
Directive on social gatherings. Was there any particular type of gathering that was a concern, and how will this be enforced? And then also, will this apply to churches?
The churches. I mean, first of all, the question is about, you know, what triggered this need for a directive in terms of our social gatherings of 10 or fewer. Prohibiting 10 or more. And the answer is there's just been some media reports as well as calls that we have received. But it's also stressing the urgency of this opportunity. As you know, I do not want to go to a shelter-in-place environment. I do not want to shut down our manufacturing or our other than essential businesses. I don't want to go to that step. And so how do you avoid having to go those additional steps as we've seen in other states? And the answer is let's all do our ability. And we've urged that responsibility. This is a way we want to say it's not just a guideline. This is a directive if we're going to be successful as a state. And so, you know, these are we'll work on the language. Dr. Smith knows his team will do this. But you know, whenever you're looking at indoor social events or 10 or more, that's just not the environment that we need to mitigate against the current circumstances. Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, the purpose here is to try and give people guidance that will protect them and their communities. So I should say I'm not trying to put down a law that people the first thing they do is try and figure out a way around it. Outdoors, there is relatively less risk because you've got better ventilation. You've got, during the daylight hours, you've got UV radiation that tends to degrade the virus. And as long as people keep a safe 6 feet or more distance between themselves, which is easy to do outside, then there are many outdoor events that I think are really good and healthy. But we don't want large crowds. We don't want opportunities, really, for this virus to spread. We're just trying to protect our individual Arkansans and their communities.
To enforce that?
Well, I would expect will give if someone sees an event that is 100 or 200 people in which there's close contact, that allows an enforcement component to it. And this is not a heavy-handed part of the law. This is just gives us the ability to say, you all need to disperse. This is not consistent with the public health directives. And so I hope you all will be patient for 24 hours because, we want to be very specific in the guidelines. But I want the public to understand that this is a need that we have. We want to make sure that we take this precaution to avoid other unnecessary steps that are being considered in other states or implemented.
So how many counties do we have positive tests in now?
I haven't counted them recently, but of course you can go online. That big blue button will give you the map and the counties that we have cases are lighted up.
So do you think that the reason there are counties without reported positive tests is because of the lack of testing in those counties? I mean, do you feel like there's community spread probable all over the state?
I would say that we have the potential for COVID-19 transmission to occur in any public space throughout the state. Now, there are areas where we've not had any reported cases, and that could be because people haven't been tested. It could be because they're not there yet. It could be for a wide variety of reasons. Many of these are rural counties, so you don't have as many people, but there's the potential when you're in a public space that someone could be infected. They may not even know they're infected at this time. They may not have signs or symptoms. So we need at this point to assume that any public place there's the potential for COVID-19 transmission, and we need to take those personal precautions, keeping a six-foot distance, washing hands, obviously avoiding contact with someone who is visibly ill, but also staying away from people if we have symptoms as well.
This is another, record number for a single day. Do you think that's is that just because you're able to test more now, or are there clusters that are responsible for a lot of these positive results?
We don't have a single cluster that would account for this jump. As I mentioned, in the last couple of days, we've been testing a lot of asymptomatic individuals in nursing homes, which I think drove down the number of positives. And now we're starting to get more results also from commercial labs. We're getting them from a wide variety of places. But I do think we're seeing more transmission of COVID-19 in our state. And those who had been infected but had no symptoms are now becoming symptomatic and seeking testing. And that's what we can expect in the next days and weeks ahead. And that's why it's so important that we take these steps to interrupt transmission, to protect ourselves, our families, and our communities, to at least slow down spread of the rate of COVID-19 transmission, and especially so we can hopefully avoid these more dramatic steps that the governor talked about, like sheltering in place or locking down.
Doing the nursing home tests, and it sounded like there was three more cases that are associated with the nursing homes.
That is correct. And actually, we have a nursing home where we do have one case that was associated with the JRMC, Jefferson Regional Medical Center case, and then Waters of Whitehall Nursing Home. But we're doing the same kind of investigation there to make sure there are no additional cases, make sure there's no staff who are infected.
Positives.
The question was about the additional two positives. Yes, at the Briarwood Nursing Home, I believe I stated we had 35 yesterday. We have 37 today.
Are you done with those three? With the original three nursing homes, have you tested everybody?
We have tested the majority, but I don't think we've completed all of the testing for all of those nursing homes yet. But we've. Fortunately, I think we have enough that we can say that for the Apple Creek and the Villages of General Baptist nursing homes, it really looks like it was just, in the case of Apple Creek, just one case, and in the case of Baptist West, just the two cases.
With the increased capacity, is there still that prior list of tests, or is it a little more liberal in who can get tested or who's getting tested now?
We'll continue to prioritize healthcare workers, hospitalized patients who are acutely ill, and those 65 and older, or those with underlying medical conditions who have symptoms, and of course nursing home residents and staff, especially in ones where there's already been a positive case. We don't recommend testing of asymptomatic individuals in general. If you get a test, it's hard to interpret what that even means. Someone asked me, do we get false negatives? Well, if you test someone who has no signs or symptoms, you know, one day after they've been infected, you might get a negative test result, and then that person later turns positive. So we're going to stick with those criteria. I think we've got plenty of folks who fit that criteria, but we want to make testing as available as possible. Certainly, if a provider, a physician, or other healthcare provider has a compelling reason why they think someone needs to be tested, then we'll also do our best to accommodate those, either at the public health lab or they can just send those to a commercial lab as well.
Is there anything else being done for healthcare professionals to kind of ease the burden? I mean, we're getting stories of, you know, 10, 13, 14-hour days, day after day, and not to mention just all the stress that's involved with it. I mean, I know we mentioned we've added some workers to the force, but, I mean, is that really enough?
As we go along, it's likely we're going to need to figure out more efficient ways to do what we're doing and also to bring others, potentially volunteers, et cetera, to do things that don't require necessarily specific training. And I've already been in conversations with some of our leaders in the hospitals about that. We'll continue to work on those plans as they're needed. At this point, there's not a need for that, but looking ahead, if there is, we'll make sure that we have plans in place for that.
Any new staff members? I think it was just 8 staff members at the Briarwood facility.
Yes, what I have there for the Briarwood facility for today is 10 positive healthcare workers, so I believe that's additional.